Welcome everyone to this OPAL presentation by the Library of Congress called Ready, Set, Read, Literacy Initiatives at the Library of Congress. My name is Tom Peters, the OPAL coordinator. Today is September 20th, 2006. I just want to remind everyone that we are recording today's session. We do plan to add it to the OPAL archive soon after the completion of today's online event. And we will also be podcasting the audio portion as well. Without further ado, let me turn it over to Judy from the Library of Congress, who will introduce today's speaker. Judy, over to you. Thanks.
Welcome, everyone. As Tom said, this is Ready, Set, Read, Literacy Resources at the Library of Congress. We've got a special guest with us today. Patricia Steelman is a senior selection specialist at the Library of Congress National Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Welcome, Patricia. She is also a specialist in children's literature. So we're taking this wonderful opportunity to combine several initiatives and events for this program. Patricia's going to talk about her wonderful new website called Kids Zone, which is just for kids to choose Braille and audio materials. And we're also going to then talk about our new National Book Festival 2006 and go to some children's authors from previous years. We're going to also take you into our literacy initiative where you're going to have an opportunity to open the books. These are rare books from our Rare Book and Special Collection Division. These have been digitized. We're going to take you to those. And then just interestingly, dip into some other wonderful poetry and literature resources that we have. Along the way, we will ask you to take time and sample these for yourself and to be able to please ask us any questions you might have. We will be reading the text chat, looking for any questions from folks who don't have microphones. And wanting to start a dialogue with you as you will. So, Patricia, I don't know that you have anything further to add at this moment. If not, we'll get started. Does anyone else have any questions before we begin? Okay, well, if you do, please type them in or hold up your little bubble, if you will, and ask away. I've turned on synchronized browsing, which means that you will follow me, and the first place we're going to go is to the National Book Festival homepage. And here it is. What we've got here is the homepage for this year's National Book Festival. We just learned that if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, on the right-hand side, you can go and look at a complete list of all the authors who are coming. And if you would like, you can go and click on any one of these, and you can learn more about the author, and you can now find out the time that they will be presenting, and if they will be doing any book signing, and what that time would be. So, why don't we give you a moment to see if there's a favorite author you'd like and click. And while I'm just going to stay here for a second so you can click and see if there's someone you like. Tom says, yes, they'll be offering podcasts. Definitely. This is a first this year. So is anyone planning on coming to the book festival? This will be on September 30th. Has anyone out there been to one of our book festivals?
I've watched some of it on TV, if that counts.
That does count, Tom. And thank you for mentioning that. Yes, C-SPAN has been here and has covered some of the different speakers. And that's a wonderful thing. And what we're going to do now is take you to previous years, because we've had crews out taping the speakers, and they are now available as webcasts. Nancy, did you want to say something? Okay, so what I'm going to do is scroll up to the top, and where it says National, let's see, I want to get over to the left-hand side, and I'm going to go to past Library of Congress National Book Festivals to the year 2005. And that should have popped up on your screen. And then what we're going to do is, again, help you navigate. We're going to go down to the bottom of this screen where you see a complete list of authors. And I'm going to click on that. And as you can see, Peter has put the URL in the text chat, so it's also possible to click on these URLs and go to these pages. I just did this the first time so you'd see how to navigate. We want to... Oh, Renee says her screen has not switched to 2005. I'm in control, and you should have switched, but if you didn't, click on the link that Peter put in the text chat and see if that helps you get to 2005. If not, write us another note. I'm on the author page for, okay. So some of the connections out there seem to be a little bit slow. We need to remember that. Don't worry, we have all the URLs, and we also have a handout with all of these in it as well. So we are going to, we have that handout, and it's a web page, so we'll have that as well. Renee doesn't have anything yet. Let me see. If I refresh, okay, that refreshed the screen that I've got, and it put us back on the author's page. Hopefully that will help others as well. What we want to do is go to the page for Mary Pope Osborne, and so I'm going to click on that page. Now, I'm hoping that everyone is on the Mary Pope Osborne page. What we would like to do is have you all get there. So is everyone able to get to the Mary Pope Osborne page? Oh, Renee is not able to do that. Nancy is there. Is anyone having any difficulty? Okay, good. So far, everybody's with us. Because there's a bit of technology here that we want to see if you all can do. And if the connections are slow, I'm concerned about us being able to do this. There is a link on this page that takes you right to a webcast. And what I'm going to do is try something. I'm going to see if I can play a portion of the webcast. But I know that if I play this inside this web conference tool, every computer out there will try to start Real Media. And we don't want to overtake your computers. That way, they may not be configured the same way. So bear with me while I try to launch this webcast. And perhaps while I'm trying to do this, Patty, if you'd like to talk about this particular webcast and why we thought it would be nice for everyone to listen to, I'll get underway with some of the technology.
We thought Mary Pope Osborne would be a good choice because of her popular series, The Magic Treehouse. And in this webcast, she talks about when she was a child, she and her brother used to have a lot of free time, and they would use their imagination to play games. And one of the things they loved to do was climb trees. And so we just thought if we could find that part of the webcast and let you hear it, it makes a nice connection to how later in life she has done this series showing her affection for tree houses. And it doesn't look as though we're getting into it to be able to show it to you. Is that correct, you?
Unfortunately, something must be going on with our server. If you all have Real Media, you can click on the webcast button and see if you can get to play it. Would somebody out there like to try? Sounds like they must be up. Oh, Tom got it. Got in the Midwest. Good. I got it. I swear, everybody, I got it 5 minutes before the webcast began. And if other people can't get it, perhaps that means that they're trying to upgrade the server for the upcoming program. We're going to try another one, and I'm going to link us to Eric Carl. Eric Carl was here in 2002. And I'm on the 2002 website. I love the graphics on each one of these. These all come from the posters that were created for these different ones. And I'm going down to the... Let me get you to the complete list of authors for 2002, and you should be there with me. Yeah, Dennis, sorry. If you minimize her, then you can come back. We're on 2002. And if you see here, you see that we're going to Eric Carl. Now, the nice thing about these is even if you don't have the technology in place, you can read a brief biography of the individual. And, of course, my very favorite little book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Mary Pope Osborne, as you heard, talks about how she got started and the idea of creativity. This particular one is Eric Carle actually reading one of his books, and I think this one is Slowly, 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 Said the Sloth. And if you click on this button down below, you can watch this webcast as well. Again, I'm going to try this lovely technology that we've got and see if I can do it. And I'm going to turn it over to Patty for her comments at this time.
One of the reasons I like Eric Carle's books so much are his beautiful colors and the big images that kids really enjoy looking at. Since our books for the blind and the physically handicapped are usually done in a recorded format, or in Braille text, we don't often get to have illustrators' work shown in our collection, but we do have what we call the Print Braille Collection or the Twin Vision Collection. And what we do is we take a print copy of the book and interleave opaque pages with Braille on them so that a sighted person can read the book with a blind person. And if it happens to be a blind grandparent reading to a sighted child, then the child can see the illustrations. So The Very Hungry Caterpillar is in our collection in the print Braille books, so that we use it in that format where two people are going to read the book at one time.
Two things. Renee is going to ask a question of Patty, but I have the sound portion of the webcast of Eric Carle reading, and I'm going to do a little magic and let you hear an audio clip from him reading from his book about the sloth.
Outside that 70 years ago, like all fairy tales, it's been the 70s important. And that work has kept us very, very busy in meetings and consultants and God knows what. So one day, I just locked myself in my studio, and I do not disturb Simon outside. And I encountered my very, very busy and active life with slowly set the star. And it's really a book on goals. I would like to read the back of the book first. Why are we always in a hurry? Rush. We scurry from here and there. You play computer games, and then quick, you watch TV. We eat fast food. Everyone tells us the way it's trending. Hurry up. Time is flying. Step on it. There is so little time, especially with friends, who watch the sunset or gaze at a star-filled sky. Ah, what you could learn, even just a little, from gentle sloth who slowly crawls along a branch of a tree, eats a little, sleeps a lot, lives in peace. Kate Goodall read the book World It Forward. Many people don't know about this law. Even I didn't know all that much about this law. It lives in the rainforest of South America. It's extremely slow moving.
Hello, Renee. I see your question up here on the board. I'm going to read it so that it'll be in the broadcast. Renee asks, well, she comments on classic books. She says, that is why so many classic titles for young children should be done in print braille. How does NLS staff decide which books are assigned to the print braille format rather than the braille only format? Thank you. There are several factors involved here. One is the date of publication of the book. Fortunately, a lot of the old classics are being reissued on an anniversary of their date. Dirty Harry about the dog comes to mind. They did a new edition of that on the 50th anniversary. One of the big factors also is the number of pages in the book. Because of production costs, our production control section prefers that we do picture books limited to 32 pages. We try to make some exceptions and do some that are over, but as you know, some of the older classics are much longer than 32 pages. The other problem occasionally is size. If it's over 14 inches high, it won't fit into the mailing container and can't be done. So we only do 30 books a year in the print braille format, and I wish we could do more. I wish I could do all the Coretta Scott King best illustrated books. I wish I could do more of the Caldecott books. I wish I could do a lot more with that collection, but we are limited. So we appreciate your interest, and I will definitely try to put more classics into that part, and I'm really glad that people enjoy that collection. Thank you for asking.
We're going to move along, and I've typed in the link to the Library of Congress homepage, and if you all would click on that, you'd get right back to our homepage, because we'd like to move on. We hope you get to watch C-SPAN or learn more about the book festival or dip into the webcast at your leisure. So if everyone is back at the home page, I want you to know exactly where you can go to find the new Kids Zone page that Patty created. And once you're there, I'll click refresh just to make sure everyone is on that page. On the left-hand side, first you see Resources 4, then below that you see Library Resources, and the fourth link down is Braille and Audio Materials. They're not getting it. Well, let's see. Okay, refresh doesn't do it. I have to click on the link. Okay, so here we are, Braille and Audio Materials on the left, fourth link down. Click. This is the homepage
for the Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And I'm going to turn it over to Patty to navigate you to the Kids Zone and to walk you through the features that are there.
There at the very top, you'll see Kids Zone, and that's one way to get there. The other way is if you scroll down below the 10 squared club, you'll see the section that says What's New. And when you get to What's New, there's the NLS Kids Zone. So please click on that, and that takes you to the next page where this is the homepage for the Kids Zone. This, what we were trying to do in creating this page was find a site on our NLS home area where kids can find their own books, where they don't have to depend on other people to find them for them, and also where readers, advisors, and librarians can find books that would be appropriate for kids to have also. And in doing this, the first thing we wanted to do was come up with a kids catalog. So the first item that you can click on this page is the kids catalog. If you will please click there, it will take you to our search engine for finding kids books. As it states here, these are audio braille and print braille books for preschool through grade 8. Essentially, what was done here, the head of our bibliographic control section, Robert Axtell, created this search engine by putting filters on the Voyager search engine that's used for our main catalog. In other words, he's blocked out all the entries that would take you to adult books so that only children's books remain. This meant that we had a limited number of search options. We have this one window where we do the keyword, author, title search, book series searches. And then because of our formatting, you'll see that you can choose the format. It says audio only. That comes up first just because it's most popular. The next one down is Braille only, and then the third option, if you scroll down, is Braille and audio. If you didn't care which format you get the book in, you can search there. You can also choose whether you want to have fiction or nonfiction books. So in this case, let's put in Braille and audio, and we'll just leave the format at the top there where it says both. And since we were talking about Mary Pope Osborne, let's type in The Magic Treehouse. Great. No, two words. Okay, we're having a little trouble bringing up this kids catalog page. Let's see. It says our session has expired. Just a minute. Our tech people are working on it. And while they are, we will. Okay, I'd just like to say we'll hold off on that search. And I'd just like to say one more thing about this. You'll notice that print braille is not listed as a separate format. The reason why is it has a braille number. It is not identified by a special code to indicate that it's print braille. So if you wanted a list of all our print braille books, you could type in print braille in that search box, and you would come up with 948 entries, which is the size of our present collection. We're having trouble with the website. And why does this always happen at broadcast time? I'm very sorry. I'll just explain one. Okay. Nancy asked if we had considered using a special code for print Braille books. Unfortunately, when this collection was started many, many years ago, they didn't. It was just put under BR. So that is a good question, though. I'm going to note it down and ask if there's any way that could be changed, at least for the future, if not for retroactive. Another feature I'd like to mention here, because a lot of children use the internet frequently, I think that on a lot of sites you can just type in the author's name in any way you like to, and when you do that, you get you can type in Mary Pope Osborne without any capitals. You can conventionally in the library word we have typed in Osborne, comma, Mary Pope, and that works too. But on this catalog, you don't have to do it that way. It will search anywhere in the annotation and pull up the name. So children can type in the words just straightforward, Mary Pope Osborne, and it will come up. It will bring up all the books that we have in the collection. 1 minute, please.
Now I want to make sure that I get you, everyone, back to the right page. And so what I am going to do is get everyone back to the kids zone.
Sorry, I was on the shift key. We're back in the kids zone. And I think let's move on down. Let's go to the next section where it says Goodreads. And since we're just starting this zone, we chose three award winners to start with. Oh, sorry. Good question. Is there a way to search for books by reading level? No, not at this time. The problem is because we're using filters and blocking out all the adult books, we had very few options that we could choose. And we thought it was more important to be able to choose between fiction and nonfiction, and to choose whether you wanted audio or Braille. And so at the moment, you get all the children's books on that subject. Because it's a small collection, hopefully this won't be too overwhelming, but we are working on the idea of trying to include a search format by grade level using the NLS grade levels, which gives an idea of the reading level. So that is something we're working on. Yes, you can try that, and it should work because that's in the annotation. And as Nancy says, in Voyager, there is a way that you can search for the phrase for grades 2 to 4, and that works also. So thank you for your help on that. I appreciate that. Okay, under Goodreads, we wanted to try and list popular books that we thought would be in our collection. So we have made a list of all the Newbery Medal and Honor books that we have in Braille or recorded format. If you click on that first list and scroll down under 2006, Newbery Medal, you'll see that what comes up is 2006 Honor Books, Hitler Youth. Now, this was, if you scroll down a little bit farther, you'll see the RC number at the bottom, RC60814. So people would go to their regional library, their local library for the blind and the physically handicapped, and that would be the number for obtaining that tape. If you scroll down a little farther, you'll see that under the 2005 medal winner, Kira Kira, there at the bottom of the annotation, there's the RC number, and then there's a Braille number that's highlighted. That's because if you are a subscriber to Web Braille, you can click there, and it asks for your password and your username, and then you can bring up the Web Braille text and have it, a direct link to it. Sometime in the not too distant future, I hope, which means within 5 years, we will have downloadable audio, and hopefully we'll have something similar for the RCs. But that's future planning. Okay, let's cancel that password. Let's go back to the Kids Zone homepage. And I would like to also point out that we have the Coretta Scott King Award of books listed. And just below that, the newest award in the ALA Pantheon is the Schneider Family Book Award. This is a personal favorite of mine. If you click on the Schneider Family Book Award list, you'll see that Dr. Catherine Schneider, who is the donor for this award, is a patron of NLS. She's been a patron for over 45 years, and she wanted to have books that would portray a disability experience in a positive way, as part of a whole life, not as a problem to be overcome or something like that. She just would like to find good books that convey the disability experience. So this award was first given in 2004, and Andrew Clements was the winner for the teenage book. He's going to be presenting at the National Book Award Festival this year in 2006. He'll be here on the mall. The book Looking Out for Sarah, which is a print Braille book, was highly recommended by Kim Charlson, and she made sure that got into the pool of books being considered. And fortunately, the whole committee agreed and liked it, and that was the winner for that. So I just want you to be aware of this. The 2006 books are not all three categories are displayed here yet. That's because two of the books are still in production. And as soon as they are distributed to all the libraries in the system, they will be included on this page. Mr. Silke requested that we only give the book numbers for titles that are in our regional libraries already. While we're talking about the team page, let's go back to the home page of the Kids Zone. And I would just like to mention at this point that there were other people involved in creating this site. Besides Bob Axtell, who did the kids catalog for us, Tom Martin was the webmaster, and he's the one who created the formatting and made sure that this would work for all our patrons. And my thanks also goes to Jim Herndon, my supervisor, because he's the one that did a lot of the negotiating and footwork to get this all together. And of course, I'd like to thank Mr. Silke for permission to put this up on our website. What we're trying to do is bring all the things about, I'm sorry, there's a question here about the Schneider Award. Thank you. How are books for the Schneider Award nominated? Who are the judges and what are the criteria? Books for the Schneider Award can be nominated by anybody who loves to read and sees a good book that they would like to put in. by going to the ALA website, ala.org. Should I type that in? Okay, if you go to ala.org/awards, you scroll down to the Schneider Award and click on there, and it tells you the criteria. It takes you to where the criteria, the past winners, and information on how to get a book nominated. And if you have trouble communicating with ALA directly, you can let me know, because I'm on the committee, and I would be happy to bring the book to the attention of the other committee members. There are 7 people on the committee. You have to be a member of ALA, preferably a librarian, but not necessarily. And they have people from American Libraries Service to Children, from YALSA, that's the young adults section, and from ASCLA, special needs groups, and I'd be happy to help you get more on there. I'd also mention that at the end of the Schneider Family Book Award page is a bibliography of books from about disabilities, and I think we have about 30 books on there right now. These are all books published since 2000. Okay, next we have, yes, Karen O'Dean is a new member of the committee, and we're very happy to have her on there. Barbara Mates from Cleveland is also on the committee. She's the chairman this year. Moving on, the selected series. The reason we have these series on here, these are books that it's a little bit difficult to figure out the order to read them in. The Chronicles of Narnia, since the movie came out, there's been a lot of interest in this. Let's click on the Chronicles of Narnia. And we have a short explanation here about the fact that the sequence order has been changed in the more recent publications, taking the book that was usually number 6, The Magician's Nephew, in chronological sequence of the story, that book comes first. So the new Complete Chronicles of Narnia, the collection of all 7 stories, is presented in that order. And we have that on one volume of our audio collection. Then you can scroll down and you can see that we have the older audio copies are the individual books. And therefore, if you prefer to read them in the original order, where The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was the first one published, you may do so, because we still have them on individual tapes and in Braille. They are in individual volumes. You'll notice that we even have The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in Spanish. And I'm going to check on that, because that's wrong. That's supposed to be a recorded. That should be RC54964. Apologize. I noticed that error, and I'll get it corrected. Okay. We only have 4 series on there right now, because most of the other series in our collection, if we go back to the homepage of the Kids Zone, you'll see that the other collections we have on here are the Redwall Abbey book series and the Harry Potter series. Because when they first came out, the Harry Potter series were not numbered until later on. So we have them listed in the order in which they should be read. And we just hope, we had several inquiries about that, so we thought listing them here would be helpful. Later, if people want other bibliographies, they can let us know. We're going to be adding a bibliography of children's classics here under Goodreads. And it's at the webmasters right now. awaiting public, waiting to be, go into HTML and get onto the site. And it will be like the others. You'll be able to click for Web Braille. You'll have a direct link. Okay, under magazines, if we click on information about magazines and go there, the first thing you see under introduction is a highlighted paragraph that says skip to the table of contents. Could we please click there? If you scroll down, it says part one, NLS produced magazines, and you'll see that we have only a few, but they're some of the perennial favorites, Boys Life, Cricket, and in this page on magazines, it gives the information for members of NLS how to sign up to receive these magazines. You'll notice in the annotation here, it tells you whether they're available in Braille or in audio cassette format. And this list hasn't changed very much. There is a committee that meets and discusses changes. One way, as you scroll down through this list, you'll see that we also include listings for books published by other people outside of NLS that are available. Okay, thank you, Peter. Get everybody going here. Okay, let me just... Okay. Let's return to the homepage for the Kids Zone. And if you scroll down, after Goodreads, after magazines, the last link on this page is to go to other sites at the Library of Congress that show what's new for kids and families. So if you please would click there. I just thought it would be fun for everybody to know some of the other places at the Library of Congress where there's special sites that might be of interest to children. And I'm going to turn this back over to Judy to moderate this part.
Yes, this is a wonderful place where you and your family can come to find some great things for you, your children. At the very top, we're going to let you sample. At the very top, on the right, it says Lifelong Literacy. I'm going to click on that button because there is a treat awaiting you. This is one of the library's new initiatives. And speaking of Narnia, you will see an animation at the top. But what I want you to do is come with me and scroll down just a bit. And you'll see some poetry resources. You'll see some biography. There's George Washington. There's Frederick Douglass. But in the middle, in orange, it says Discover Rare Children's Books. And if you keep looking down, you'll see The Secret Garden, 1911, and a link to The Secret Garden. But even more than that, read more rare children's books. And we are going to click on that link. And here we are. This page is chock full of wonderful old, I can't say old, I have to say classic. I remember my grandmother with some of these books. And I asked Patty to choose one for us to demonstrate. And she chose, let's see now, did I scroll past it? The third one down, and I did scroll past it, The Arabian Nights, Their Best Known Tales. So if you would, 1, 2, 3, the third one down, I'm going to click on it and take you into this book.
Now, there's no special technology here, so we do not need a webcast player or anything. This is just a wonderful way for you to look at this book. And I'm going to turn it back over to Patty to tell you why she chose the book and a very special illustration that she wants us to share.
Thank you. The Arabian Nights, the special edition by Kate Douglas Wiggin and Nora A. Smith, is illustrated by Maxfield Parrish. And while this book was published many years ago, it is still in print today. So it is truly a children's classic. It is one that has stood the test of time, and Scribner's Classics is still reproducing it with the same illustrations as shown in this original rare book edition. So if at the top here, if it says from the Rare Book and Special Collections Division, it says image one of 410 images. In other words, they've done each side of the page, so there are 410 images in this book. In the box, if we click on image 53, if we type in 53, the illustration on this page is for the story called The Talking Bird. And if you can scroll down so that you can see this illustration, in that black cloud, there are birds. And this is the clearest one that I could find to bring up on the web. But so I think it's wonderful that this is a rare book. It's been considered to have such good text and such charming illustrations that it is listed in the Horn Books list of children's classics. And indeed, you can still go out and buy it as a paperback today in Scribner's Classics. And I just thought it would be fun to look at this for a moment. Ah, okay. Has Tom Martin tried using some of this book from the Rare Book Collection so they can be read with assistive technology? That's a very good question, and I don't know the answer. So what I would like to ask you to do, Renee, is if you would repeat that question, if you write it into the NLS webmaster, we will, or ask a librarian, we will definitely try and find out about that, because I think that's a great idea. That would be really super. Okay. I think just for fun, go back up to the top of the page, and let's turn to page 51, just so they can see what the text looks like. I'm sorry, 49. They have a plasticine page in between the illustration and the print. Okay, so you can see this is done in the old type and an old font, and the whole thing is just very charming, which seems really appropriate for a story from the Arabian Nights. There are 12 tales in this collection. And soon we have it in Braille in the NLS collection. And as soon as we get that Children's Classics website up, I will have a direct link to the Braille. Okay. If we go back to the viewing of the homepage for this rare book section, okay. I see that Renee has a question on here about whether she should go to ask a librarian. Okay, either way will work. And I will also take that question back to NLS when I go myself. Okay, because we did not have this specific edition of the Arabian Nights in a recorded format on the version that I put up for our children's classics, I'm recommending Neil Phillips' book of the Arabian Nights, and it's an RC. Again, it's a collection of tales. Oh, here we are back at the Rare Books site. If you look down at the second book, it's A Apple Pie by Kate Greenaway. And again, if you take the time to look through some of these books, you turn it page by page, and you'll see the very charming illustrations that were so popular 100 years ago. Charming. And again, Kate Greenaway's books are often reprinted because they have charm for people even today. Do you want to open a page, or shall we just, we need to move along? Okay. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Judy now. Talk to you again.
I just want to help you all understand the technology. Up at the top of each page, you'll see next image, and it is a link. So if you just click next image, you will have the effect of a page turner, and you can turn this page by page. Or once you've done this and you want to show this to someone else and you know the exact number of the page, as we did with the previous book, the illustration was on 53, in the little box, type in the number of the page and then click turn to image, and then you will get immediately to that image, so you don't have to keep paging through the text. So very simple technology to help you use this. It could be set, as Sharon says, it can this be set to turn automatically? No, it cannot. Not the way it is now. And personally, there are times when I'd love to go really quickly, but I like the fact that I can type a number in the text box and then go immediately to that page. This way, though, it actually makes us pause and read and appreciate each page. So you could have one thing and then you'd lose another. It's a toss-up. But we do have these online, which to us is extremely exciting. We have 4 minutes left. I'm going to turn it back over to Patty to see if there's one last special thing she would like to share with you, and also if there is a question that you all have for Patty, now's the time.
Thank you. I'd like to respond to Nancy and Renee's exchange about the internal chronology of series. On the Redwall series, if you go to the Redwall website, Brian Jacques says that he wrote the books, the order in which they're published is the way he recommends reading them, because that way you maintain the surprise element. He also offers on his website the chronological way, so that like book number 5 that actually comes number 1 in the chronology, or some of the other ones that were interleaved later, you can read them in that chronological internal chronology order. But he said that he thinks you might enjoy them more if you read them in the order he published them, because you'll get more surprises that way. So there's two sides to that argument. And of course, a lot of people are very upset that the Chronicles of Narnia are being published in a different order, because they were used to reading them the other way. So it's all a matter of personal preference, and I think that's great. If you would put it up in the other order and give people that option, that would be super.
Tom, in our last few minutes, would you please send everyone to the handout that we gave you?
Yeah, just a second. I'm copying and pasting the URL into the text chat.
We really wanted to give you the URLs for the places we've been and some more places that we could not go. And the handout, when you see the handout, let's click on the handout there. Now the handout should be up here. And each one of these links is hot, which means that you can click on it and go straight there. And we wanted to let you know that there are a couple of exhibits that we have, and American Memory also has some wonderful stories for children as well as poetry. And if you scroll down, you'll see that we have a poem by Helen Keller, age 13, and other children's poetry, also including, I think, some poems that were written by Alexander Graham Bell at age 11. So those are last comments that we wanted to add, and links for you all to explore after the program is over. And Patricia, do you have any final comments?
I'm very happy to see so many of my friends and colleagues from National Library Services here on the line, and thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Patty, Judy, and Peter. As always, I love and hate these Library of Congress online presentations. I love them because they're so fascinating. I hate them because they pretty generally ruin my day, and I spend the rest of the day exploring some of the riches you've shown us briefly this afternoon. So thanks very much.
We thank everybody for coming, and we hope you'll come back and visit us again.
Please use Ask a Librarian or your NLS website if you have any more questions, and we'll be happy to try and respond to your wishes.